Hey, welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. We are so glad you joined us for another episode. I'm here with Pastor Dan. Hey, today we want to invite you to stay tuned as we are going to be talking about, hey, this is going to be a great topic. I'm excited about our conversation.
It's a fun one today.
But stay tuned because we're going to be talking about sold out.
Sold out.
Fully convinced.
Fully.
What does that mean? Are we allowed to have questions? Do questions arise in our life, in our faith? What do we do with those questions? Anyways.
Good questions.
Pastor Dan.
Yes, sir.
Question for you. Speaking of questions.
Speaking of questions.
Now, you've talked about oftentimes of your dreams.
Rockstar dreams.
Of rocks, yeah, your rockstar dreams.
My rockstar dreams, yes.
Now, it's kind of on topic with our conversation today. Were you like an indie guy? Were you a pop rock guy? Were you a, you know, like a scene kid, what they called them in the early 2000s. That
yeah.
was still after your time. But
oh, yeah. Yeah. No, we were into the indie rock. We were okay. into emo.
Yeah.
Didn't really get into screamo. That
right.
was a subgenre
yeah.
that we didn't really like. I did listen to some hardcore bands and mm-hmm. stuff like that. A lot of that was in the Christian scene.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I wasn't into some of the secular stuff. A lot of that, especially the hardcore stuff, is demonic.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, Christian bands. For all my hardcore fans out there, Life Once Lost,
mm-hmm.
Born Blind.
Yeah.
You know, there were
Christian
hardcore
bands. I remember
bands.
Band names in the 90s and 2000s. It was always, like, so obscure.
Usually the hardcore bands had three names. You know,
okay.
Life Once Lost. You know,
oh,
it was
yeah.
something
yeah.
like that. Mm-hmm. What was it? Every Mountain Drowning. You know, it was just like there was
yeah.
these three named.
What was, did you have a band name?
5 Cent Redemption. Yeah, we
okay.
did have.
Oh, there we
have
go.
Band, yeah, three.
Say
three
that
names.
We got to get his T-shirt
now,
made of that.
We were more close to, I guess you'd say, alternative.
Okay.
Kind of that. At
yeah.
that time, you know, it
yeah.
was the late '90s, and then later on, I started a kind of an indie rock band. We called it Josiah.
Mm.
Didn't do too much with either of them.
It didn't have three names. It should have.
It should have had three. Yeah, but no, I got out of 5 Cent Redemption. The guys went on to cut an album with actually Scott Stapp or
yeah.
not Scott Stapp. What was his name? I can't remember his name
yeah.
right now. But the guy from Plank Eye that went on to do Fan Mail.
Okay.
They were in a tattoo parlor, and one of the guys went in there and
yeah.
started striking up conversation. They ended up going to his recording studio and cutting an album with them.
No way.
After I got out of the band. So it's like, thanks, guys, for waiting till after. So, yeah.
Oh, man.
But
well,
I still love all those guys that I was
yeah.
in the band with. We still communicate.
That's
We've got
cool.
a group text that,
nice.
You know, memes and jokes and things
yeah.
still fly on and all
those
that good
fun.
Stuff. So, yeah, fun stuff.
Now, for me, I remember the flex always was, like, it was always a cool thing to be like, I liked them before, right? Because
oh, yeah.
is that how it was? With
I can't
Indy?
Tell you
I
how many
like,
people told me, I liked them before they were cool.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it's like, dude, go sit down.
Well,
you
that
know?
Was, the, I mean, so on the, I was more on the hip hop side, and it was always like, you know, you liked the underground rap. Or
yeah.
It was, you know, it was like, oh, they got to... It was more conscious rap, and they get to talk about whatever because it's the idea of commercialism, and you have to
yeah.
make what sells. And I'm assuming it's the same in all genres.
Oh yeah,
right?
No, I remember one band. We went to, I think it was a punk rock competition
yeah.
at Pharaoh's Lost Kingdom.
Oh wow,
which now is obliterated. it's now an Amazon warehouse.
Yeah.
I think you know, like they broke it all, tore it all down.
Literally
think,
a warehouse.
Yeah,
now.
That thing it was a haunt for demons for a long time
yeah.
after they closed it, but. Man, yeah, they tore that thing to the ground and then built up a big Amazon warehouse on the property that is for lease right now, I think. But anyways, yeah, so we saw it was like a competition,
mm-hmm.
you know, best band or whatever.
Yeah.
And there was all these punk rock bands and one emo band.
Mm-hmm.
And the emo band, I mean, literally was like apologetic. We know this is a different crowd
yeah.
and this is a different style of music, but we believe that, you know, like... This is something that is deep and, you know,
yeah.
you just have to give us a moment. And like everybody else just kind of plugged in and went for it, you know.
Yeah.
But they literally like lined up all their chords and, you know,
oh,
all
wow.
that kind of stuff. And then at the end of their set, they destroy the stage. It was awesome. It was just like and all the punk rock kids went nuts because
yeah,
they were
yeah.
like, no one else did that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the guitarist is bleeding from ripping
That's
his strings off his guitar. That's awesome. You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was like we knew them before they were cool. Well, then they start cutting an album with the label,
yeah.
and all of a sudden everybody's abandoning ship.
Yeah.
No, they sold out.
Yeah.
They've, you know, and that's a different kind of sold out
right.
than we're talking
yeah.
about, right?
But that's the thing, right? Like, everyone, you don't like the sellout.
Yeah.
Tangent. In our life following Jesus.
Yes.
we need to be sold out. And I think it's like, it's very Christianese. Like, you know, I think you said something to me about an idea for the conversation. In my mind, I'm like, oh, do you mean like sold out? Right. Yeah. And that, because that's, I translate things into Christianese right away. Like, because my understanding, like, oh, yeah, we got to be sold out for Jesus. Mm-hmm. But then I think about the negative connotation of sold out.
Yeah, you're a sellout.
Yeah, you sold out to corporate. You mm-hmm. sold, like, you weren't, you're not real anymore.
Yeah.
But then I think of like, to be sold out for Jesus, yeah, we sold out, right? Because we've been bought by the blood of Jesus.
Hello, someone's we've, preaching.
Well, because I think of someone would might look at a Christian, and then I think your testimony yeah. speaks to that too. We're like, wait, you were this way. You were cool this way. You used to like this kind of thing. What's up with you now? You sold out to the man's religion, or to a yeah. structure
sure.
that wasn't there before. You were a rebel. You were loose cannon. But when it comes to walking with Jesus, why is it important to be sold out, or to be, as our conversation is going to be about, yeah. fully convinced?
Fully convinced.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, while you're talking, I'm just thinking about how there's still, to this day, a draw to the secret things, to the things that not everybody is drawn to mm-hmm. the popular. You know, there's something to be said. Right now, what's very popular is on YouTube, on, you know, the shorts and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. and the reels. You've got people that are talking about things that are not in the canon of Scripture.
Mm.
They're going to apocryphal works.
Yeah.
They're going to non-canonical books, which, if you need to know what that is, there yeah. was a council that gathered together, and because of the use, the quotations of the early church right. fathers, and the cross-reference of Scripture, yeah. and the doctrinal discussion, they said, these are the books that we're saying are the inspired word of God, as evidenced mm-hmm. by their use, by their quotations from the early church fathers, by how they explain things and express things. And that's how we came up with the 66 books of the Bible.
Right, right.
Well, there are other books that were written that authorship is, they don't know. And that's why Hebrews actually didn't make the first cut. You know yeah. what I mean? They there were some questions around it. But mm-hmm. then later on, because of use and because of doctrinal things, and they included Hebrews in the book. Yeah. In the books of the Bible. But, you know, the other thing is, doctrinally, they don't line up. They may be historical and accurate, but they're not a part of the greater story, that sort of a thing. So you got like 1st, 2nd, 3rd Maccabees. We can learn from those things.
Yeah,
we can
yeah.
see what was taking place in history. However, they don't stay with the main theme.
Right.
And they're not the inspired word of God in the sense, you know. It'd be more like, you know, with those books, it'd be more like the works of Josephus that are historical and
yeah.
talk about things
yeah.
that we can learn, and we can see how it supports the Scripture,
mm-hmm.
but we're not going to put it on the level of Scripture, right. inspired, infallible,
yeah. yes.
you know, that sort of a thing. So recently I got sent a video by somebody that was about the book of Enoch, and I've never
yeah,
read it.
Right.
Never read it. Never yeah. had a desire to read it, you know, and but don't you want to know if there's something in there? And they were talking yeah. about cutting down these giant trees and that sort of a thing. And then they were saying like Devil's Tower and, you know, all these places and the mesas
yeah.
and all that.
Yeah.
Those were trees that now have petrified over time
yeah.
and that the waters of the flood, you know, mm-hmm. cooled them and made them into what they are with the hexagonal shapes, you know,
yeah.
even like if you go hiking in Mammoth, California, mm-hmm. a place called Devil's Post Pile, and it's all hexagonal things. Now, scientists will tell you that that hexagonal form comes from the cooling of magma. As it presses up out and then it cools,
yeah.
it creates a hexagonal form. They're saying that the hexagonal form actually is the form of wood at a cellular level.
Yeah.
That has, you know, over
been
time
down.
Petrified and that sort yeah. of thing. So these are massive. I mean, when you think in those terms, my mind just went like, whoa, that would be a huge tree.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Now, with the dinosaurs, were they just lizards that we right. see now that are like this big that just grew that big?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
there's been
yeah.
thoughts about that. But, you know, I'm not convinced.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people almost like the same thing. I knew them before they were
yeah.
cool. I found this
yeah.
band and
mm-hmm.
they're so great. But the moment they become mainstream and everybody
yeah.
accepts them, oh, I don't like them anymore.
Yeah.
And I think in some ways that attitude has gotten into the church that, oh, I want to talk about the Nephilim because not everybody's talking about this.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you start to be seen to be something. Wow. A malfunction on a whiteboard over there. Are you okay, Ian? Ian is our guy behind the cameras. He's all good. All right. Good deal, man.
No
one was hurt in the filming of this podcast. But, you know, people are wanting and desiring to be seen as, I have this knowledge. I have this understanding that no one else has. I knew about it before everyone else. And, you know, there's an element of pride there.
Yeah.
Obviously. Also, there is a danger in that based on the fact that, you know, when you take a look at like Gnosticism, part of that is there was secret knowledge.
Yeah. Yep.
In the spirit. And there was levels to that too. And every level you'd have to have this, they call them angelic, I believe, this demonic being that you had to pass in order to get to the next level.
Yeah.
I mean, this is stuff that when you start looking at this, the cults, the Masons, you know, different secret societies and organizations, as you get deeper, it's a different level of demonic activity as you go deeper into the organization.
Yeah.
The crazy thing is people are sold out to this stuff.
Yeah.
And they would say that we're sellouts, right? Because we're just the mainstream and we're just eating whatever the, you know, and a lot of them, you, what the Pope said or what, you know, and it's like, what, you know, do you even know what we believe?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
That's crazy, you know? And the danger is that they're so sold out that they're missing out on something that we should be sold out to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And when we stay within God's boundaries and borders, there's safety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not going to get off on some goofy thing.
Right.
We're not going to get drawn away and tempted and brought into these things that are unscriptural, you know?
Yeah.
Or taken into those things, you know? And that's where I can kind of see that culture pervading into the church and see where it can take people out.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Well, so I think, and the conversation stemmed from this thought of, you know, young people or people newer to the faith or people, maybe they've been in the faith for a long time and then they come across questions or things that they just don't know the answers to.
Right.
And they go, I know this or I believe this about my faith, but there's just some holes here. And so how do we get ourselves to be fully convinced? How do we get ourselves to be sold out? Even when there's unknowing, as pastors, I mean, as pastor of our local church, I know you take one of your greatest responsibilities is, you know, shepherding, folding, guiding, guarding the flock. And one of the ways that you do that is by teaching the Bible, walking us through, and with the hope that we would all take that responsibility on ourselves, go and read the Bible for ourselves and learn what the Word of God is saying. But we don't get to have you by our side when we're reading the Bible.
Sure.
Right. Well, we always say like, but we have the Holy Spirit. Yes. So when there are these questions, when there are some of these things, these rabbit trails and again, conversations, because people stumble across these conversations, maybe at their workplace, maybe they've told somebody about the Bible and their coworker goes, well, yeah, but I read in the Book of Enoch, what? And they don't know how to answer. There's no like, you know, you kind of just get left not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
What would your thought be on walking through our faith? When there's maybe not holes in our faith in terms of I don't believe, but just things we don't know.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you asked that question. There are things that this side of heaven we're never going to know.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in the Book of Genesis that leaves a lot of questions.
Right.
I think, though, that when we see those things, do those questions leave a hole in our faith and in the mainstay of what we're talking about? Because it does take faith to believe the stories of the Bible.
Yeah.
It takes faith to believe that there are miracles and things outside of the normal, you know, run of this earth that can take place. And yet when you've seen a miracle firsthand, you're convinced this is real. This can happen. So if this can happen, then when I take a look at things like, well, how could one man's death pay for my sins?
Yeah.
Right? Well, it's outside of the realm of my full understanding. I don't know fully how that works, but God credits it, right? And that's a God thing. And that means that I don't have to fully understand every part of it in order for it to be something that's effective, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like when you go to the bank and they say, hey, you know, this and that happened. And because of that, there's been an error, but it's worked in your favor because now you get X amount of dollars credited to your account.
Yeah.
You may not know the whole process, but you say, free money, I'll take it, right? You take it on faith.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with God. God says, hey, you messed up. I took the penalty. The debt is paid.
Right.
You're free.
Right.
And we say, I mean, I don't understand all that, but I'll take it, right? Mm-hmm. I'll receive that gift of salvation.
Yeah.
You know? So if there were things in Genesis like, was it a six, you know, solar day creation or was that ages?
Yeah.
We don't know fully. I can believe in a God who's big enough to create the earth and the heavens in 6 solar days.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I can also believe that God took ages mm-hmm. and called them days because the sun didn't even show up until day four.
Right. Yeah.
So then what was the day one, two, and three? What were those ages? Were, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that God's powerful enough that if it was the amount of time that a solar day was, then so be it, mm-hmm. right? And by the way, what was the period before the evening and the morning of day one?
Yeah.
Right? So that may reconcile where scientists are looking at billions of years. Mm-hmm. Now, again, do I fully trust carbon dating?
Right.
No, there's holes in that, that leave to where I can't just say that when someone says this is a billion years old, you know, and it's like, well, how did you figure that out? Well, the amount of time the carbon took to burn and this and that. Okay, but then take a look at those systems, you know, and I don't have time to explain all this on a podcast, but at the same time, it leaves questions that are bigger than answers, right?
Yeah.
That says, if I can't trust that, then can I trust your billions of years for dating the Earth?
Yeah.
You know, I do know human history, and I do know what we're looking at here, and it looks like a young Earth, basically.
So is it, can it be okay to be comfortable with just not knowing and not maybe landing on those things? I know you and I have had conversations, because some of those things, like, they don't affect my, you know, we won't make this the conversation, like, but someone brings up aliens. Oh, like, okay, aliens, yes, no, do they exist? Like, honestly, it doesn't affect my view of Jesus,
right?
Like, in other words, these are non-essential to my faith.
Yeah, if a giant crawled out of a hole in the ground,
like, you know, like, and I get, and so I don't want to dismiss or call people, you know, but I guess some of those to me can just be distracting conversations.
Sure.
Now I do understand, though, we have people who are having these real questions, and they deal with friends, coworkers, family members themselves who have these looming questions. And I don't want to be dismissive, like, you're being crazy, right? Like, I don't want to say that, but going back to the point of how does this affect to my fully convinced, and maybe share from the scripture what we were talking about, because let's bring it back to scripture. I know you brought up a scripture in Romans, where what is God asking of us in terms of our sold outness, right?
Sure.
What's the gauge that's good for us? Where should we strive to be? And what are maybe some danger levels what should we be looking out for in our daily walk when we are feeling one day maybe more convinced than the other? Then we watch this video on YouTube and now I'm, you know, you get what I'm saying?
Yes. Well, and I think that's what kind of started this whole thought process was because I'm seeing the lives of people and I'm seeing how they're hesitant to do things like simple things, share their faith, come to church.
Yes.
Give.
Yeah.
These are basics. These are the ABCs of Christian faith, right? Yeah. Read your Bible every day. Pray. They're not convinced.
Mm.
They're not persuaded.
Right.
And it's interesting because there's a scripture that started this off in my thinking too, and you pulled it out earlier today when we were talking about this, that in Romans, the context of it, he's talking about eating meat or not eating meat. Some people had a problem with it because that meat is sacrificed to idols and my conscience won't allow me to eat that. The Apostle Paul says, good, don't eat it for your conscience sake and for the sake of the one who gave it to you. But then there are other people that say, I have no problem eating meat. And I didn't know it was sacrificed to an idol, so why should I be judged for something? You know, I didn't know, right? Yeah. So again, here's a question. Here's something that should we eat or not eat, right? So the Apostle Paul comes back and he says, hey, meat or no meat? Do whatever's in your heart, whatever your conscience. Now, if you know it's sacrificed to idols, if someone says to you, hey, that was sacrificed to an idol, and now we're going to partake and we're going to honor this demon god, right?
Yeah.
Then I wouldn't eat because I don't honor that god, right? For the sake of the other person's conscience, right? Now, for me, I know that an idol is nothing, right? I could eat that and have no problem, but because of your conscience, because you think that's something, I'm not going to eat just to show you where my faith is at.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I'm fully persuaded that's not God, okay? So he says, if you eat and it was sacrificed to an idol, you didn't know, you're okay. But if you don't eat because you think it might be sacrificed to an idol, guess what? You're okay. But then he says this. He says, but let each man be fully convinced in his own mind.
Yeah.
And walk out that faith,
yeah,
basically. That's where, with the things that we do understand, not the Nephilim.
Right.
Not the giants.
Right. Age of the earth.
Age of the earth. Six-day creation. Yeah. Age-long creation. You know, all these things that are up in the air, the things that we don't know.
Right.
Even you know, the distant past and even the distant future or the near future with Revelation, Antichrist, millennial reign, timeline of those events.
Yeah.
Pre-mid, post-rapture, amillennial, yeah. premillennial, postmillennial. I mean, all this stuff that's out there, right? That people long to look into.
Yeah.
And again, I've got the secret knowledge. I've got the inside track. I found this teacher online and he's got something. You know, even people that are going back to Judaism because they know that Christianity has its roots in Judaism and they want to get closer to God. And so now all of a sudden they're celebrating the feasts and that sort of a thing. Again, every man, when it comes to the Bible and our walk with God, there are some basics, some foundational truths.
Yeah.
And whether you celebrate a festival or not, that sort of a thing, again, you have to be fully convinced. Now, I don't believe you have to celebrate the festivals. I don't believe you have to do the Sabbath. I don't believe that you have to do the new moons or the dietary laws or any of those things. Why? Because the Bible is clear.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read the Bible, especially the book of Galatians, you'll find out that he says that we're not bound by any of those things, that we have no regard for them any longer because Jesus Christ is our Sabbath day of rest.
Yeah.
He is our feast, right? He's our Passover lamb.
Yeah.
I don't have to celebrate the Passover anymore because I've eaten of the heavenly Passover, right?
I want you to make an important distinction.
Yes.
Between what you're saying in terms of fully convinced and our convictions and relativism or our own truth, right? Because I think we can hear like, well, this is my truth, right? This is what I, and is there a slippery slope between, hey, you believe this, we can all be at the table, and someone who just makes something else up as their truth that's outside of Scripture.
Oh, 100%,
And so how do, maybe just touch on that, because I can see, I can see it can, there is a place where it gets out of hand, where it gets outside of, well, we can sit down together, even though you believe this, I believe that. But there's an understanding, there's the confines of the Word of God versus...
Right. Yeah, no, truth is truth regardless of my experience, my thoughts, my, any of the things that I bring to it. Truth has to be true regardless of what I bring, my experience, circumstances, any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that's where the Word of God is true.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, thy word is truth.
Yeah.
That's outside of any man's perspective, any man's circumstance, any man's experience. None of those things affect what is true. True is like a ruler that's a straight line, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can draw a line and say that's my truth, but when I put the ruler up next to it, is it straight?
Yes.
Right. According to the rule?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's why it's called a ruler. There is a rule that says this is straight.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with God's word. It is the rule of life. Not in a negative way. Sometimes, oh, it's just a bunch of rules and regulations.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's a way of life. This is what is true.
Mm-hmm.
And if my experience, circumstances, you know, any of those things, even education or surroundings don't line up with that, obviously that's not true.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Now, it may be a fact, but it's not true.
Right. No, that's good.
And that's an important distinction. And I think that's where people wrestle because the fact is, right, people would say, well, the fact is that I tried that Christianity thing and it didn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are they saying? They're saying that they had an expectation that they saw from the Word of God or that they heard from a preacher.
Yeah.
And when they didn't experience it, it made the Word of God not true.
Yeah.
But the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar.
Yeah.
And so if I tried something and it didn't work out the way that I thought it was, then obviously I don't understand God, right? There's no problem with the word. There's a problem with me or my experience.
Yeah.
And we have to remember, we live in a fallen world. There's opposing forces that don't want the Word of God to be true in our lives. And so they're going to throw facts and circumstances and road bumps in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing, too, is do we really know? Are we fully persuaded with what the entirety of the Word of God says? So how does that look? And I think this is where we're getting to the whole point of this, is that, okay, so there are people who maybe have heard that if you believe in Jesus, that he'll pay all your bills, that you'll never be sick, and that life will be a bed of roses, right? Everything's going to work out for you magically, right? That is not true. It's not a fact, but it's not true, okay? Because the Bible says all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. There will be hindrances. Through many tests and trials, we must enter the kingdom of heaven.
When you enter trials and tribulation.
Rejoice. Jesus. When these things happen. When, you know, lift up your heads. All these things we see. So the truth mm-hmm. of God's word is that it's not going to be a bed of roses.
Right.
We're going to have problems and challenges.
Yes.
We may get sick. Now, again, what's true about our health? By his stripes, we were healed. Mm-hmm. The fact may be that I'm sick, but the truth is that I'm healed. So I have to believe God for my healing mm-hmm. in the midst of getting sick. It doesn't mean I'll never get sick.
Right.
I used to have a problem with that because I went to a school where the leader of the school was saying things like, I've never had a headache.
Right.
And I was like, gosh, I must not be saved if that's the case, right?
Yeah.
But then I heard him talking. He says, any time a headache would start to come on, I'd say, nope, in the name of Jesus, and the headache would go away.
Yeah.
So he never had a headache. No, he had a headache.
Right.
But what he was saying is I had to line up with the word of God, right? It was a different level of faith than what I operate in.
No, like he wasn't allowing the
circumstance
to,
and the fact to affect the truth. Right. He was bringing the truth into his circumstance. He was fully persuaded that God wanted to heal him.
Right. And I think of like that fully persuaded oftentimes, and as it affects our conversation, we would take the statements and actions of that leader, and then people run with those things and make it into something that it wasn't, right? People make doctrines out of someone's faith, but he was fully convinced.
He was convinced based on what? On the word.
Right.
Because that's not just one scripture, by his stripes you were healed. Right. That's New Testament.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. You can see it in Matthew.
Yeah.
That when Jesus went about healing and doing good to all who oppressed the devil.
Yeah.
And then Matthew quotes that scripture from Isaiah. Mm-hmm. And then 1 Peter, he applies it to our salvation. But then you go to the Psalms.
Yeah.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. Do not forget all his benefits. He forgives all our sins. Who heals all of our diseases. It's all through the entirety of the word of God. Right. I'm the Lord that heals you.
Yeah.
He sent forth his word and he healed them. Right? All through the Bible, you can see that the truth of God's word is that God wants us to be healed. Even the acts of Jesus, when the leper came to him and says, if you will, you can heal me. What did Jesus say? I will.
Yeah.
Right?
It's good.
It's God's desire. I can see that from the word. Now, the fact may be that I'm sick, mm-hmm. not feeling it. But the truth is, and I'm persuaded by the word of God. And this is where I see that Christians aren't living just the basics of the Christian faith. Okay, put the giants aside, put the Nephilim, put the, you know, the flood account and how that looked and what that, you know, Adam and Eve and their kids, where did they get wives for their sons?
Yeah.
Put all that stuff aside for a second, because those are questions that we all have that we don't know.
Yeah.
And this side of heaven, we're not going to know.
Yeah.
Unless God gives a special revelation or something, I don't know. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I think he leaves some of the mystery in there.
Yeah.
Because we need a God that's bigger than our understanding. Otherwise, he'd cease to be God. If I could explain God, he wouldn't be God.
Right.
Yeah. Right? I need a God that's supernatural. So then what do? I take the stuff that I can get a hold of. And I take that stuff, and I have to get the word of God on it and be fully convinced about it.
Right.
I'm sold out. When I said yes to Jesus and I told this testimony, I was 15 years old and I'd been in church all my life, learned the Bible stories, all that kind of stuff, but I wasn't fully persuaded yet. But there came a moment when I realized my depravity and my need of God.
Yeah.
And I gave I sold out
All right.
to the man, Christ Jesus, right?
So I imagine it as running. Now that I've made this decision, I'm sold out. I run everything through that filter.
Absolutely.
All these, I think of a Brita filter, right? All these other things. Well, I'm going to run these facts, these questions that are valid points, real concerns.
Yeah, yeah.
And I run it through the scripture, and I run it through the truth of, man, God is good. I believe he is who he is, and there's so much I don't know. And then whatever comes out on the other side of that, it has to go through these truths. And there's going to be stuff that I still don't know.
Right.
But it touched the truth of God's word.
Yeah.
And I have to be comfortable with that. Just like, you know, and I think we're like, oh, that's just like, no, look, that's the level of faith. Science is asking you to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Every philosopher is asking you to do the same thing. Take some
there's
unknowns.
A faith step,
yes. Take some unknowns and still live life.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no meaning to life. That's a big step of faith to assume that you're just here by accident.
We came through monkeys or primordial soup that just so happened to have light and all this hit at the same moment. Mm-hmm. And that 11 blend of herbs and spices just happened to pop a chicken out. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, come on, you know,
absolutely.
There's a big leap of faith there. You know, there's a lot that I'm thinking about, and we're out of time.
Yeah.
I think we have a part two here.
Yeah, I think that,
because there's some things that I want to say about what do we do with the questions. You know, we didn't even touch on that yet because we live in that tension.
Right.
And we need to know what to do. So what do you say we come back together next time and talk about this more?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
All right, we'll see you next time. Hey, hang on, be back, like, comment, maybe put in some of your questions that you have. We'd love to go over those.
Love to hear
them. God bless you guys. Talk to you soon.